Now please turn with me in your Bibles for our reading this morning. This is found in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 33 to verse 35. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, from verse 33. In the Pew Bibles, it is on page 861. Page 861 in the Black Bibles that you have in front of you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, from 33 to 35, just three verses. And this is what the Word of God says. And they say to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." In this church, we believe in preaching through a book of the Bible, passage by passage. We believe that is the best way to teach the Bible rather than jumping from passage to passage. We go through a book of the Bible, passage by passage, and we're currently working our way through Luke's Gospel. And this is the passage we have arrived at. This is in the providence of God. This is where we are this morning. I didn't plan it like this, but this is where we've come to. And what I'm going to do this morning is to preach a subject that I don't think I've ever preached on. I was actually looking back on my sermons and I may have touched on it, but I don't think preached on this particular topic. But as we go through the Bible passage by passage, we are therefore brought up with topics that we wouldn't normally preach on. So I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of fasting. And I wonder, when was the last time you heard a sermon on fasting? Or I wonder, when was the last time you actually thought about fasting? When was the last time you did a Bible study on the subject of fasting? But as I read this passage, I believe the Lord laid it on my heart to speak on the subject of fasting, because that is the theme of this passage. The people come to Jesus and they say to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." So they bring in this accusation that the disciples of John and the disciples of Pharisees, well, they fast, but your disciples don't. And Jesus, by way of explanation, says, look, the wedding guests are here and the bridegroom is here. The bridegroom, as Mike said in his family talk, has come to claim his bride, has come to find a wife for himself or to make a wife for himself. Surely when the bridegroom is there, when you go to a wedding feast, I hope you've never fasted at a wedding feast. It would really be a very remarkable wedding feast if when you turned up, they said, "We're actually going to fast." Well, that would make it very cheap for the couple getting married, but I don't think many people would be very happy with that. And so Jesus says, this is the time of a wedding feast. And then he says, but when he has gone, when he's taken away from them, then they will fast. So I want to speak on the subject of fasting this morning. And when I come to my application at the end, I trust you will see why I've chosen to speak on this subject. What I want to do is look at the Bible and the subject of fasting in the Scriptures. And I have a number of points that I'm going to make as we go through this subject. The first thing that I want to say on this subject is, fasting was commanded only once in the whole Bible, in the Law of Moses. In other words, God never commanded his people to fast except on one occasion. When God gave the law through Moses to the people of Israel, there was a day called the Day of Atonement. And God spoke about this Day of Atonement when the whole nation of Israel gathered at the temple. and the priest made atonement for the sins of the people. And God said, on that day, you will fast. That's the only time there has been an express command from God to his people to fast. Having said that, secondly, when we read the Bible, we find throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we find there were various occasions when God's people fasted. Let me remind you of some of them. You remember Moses when he went up to Mount Sinai and was given the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. We are told that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You remember that after David had fallen into sin with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba gave birth to a boy, and the boy was dying, and David fasted and prayed that that boy might not die. You may remember a time in the book of Ezra, when Ezra was in Babylon, and he was traveling back to Jerusalem. And it was a long and hazardous journey. So Ezra and those who traveled with him fasted and prayed for protection during that journey. You may remember a time in the book of Nehemiah when some people came from Jerusalem to Susa, where Nehemiah was in the land of Babylon. And Nehemiah asked them about Jerusalem, and he said, how are things in Jerusalem? And they said, things are terrible. And Nehemiah was so grieved by the state of the city of Jerusalem that he mourned and fasted. You may remember in the book of Esther, the Jewish people faced extermination because of an enemy called Haman who wanted to kill all of them. And Esther said to the people through Mordecai, proclaim a fast for 3 days and three nights, no food, no water. And then she said, I will approach the king and ask him to spare our people. You may remember in the book of Jonah, when Jonah went into the city of Nineveh and said 40 more days and then God will destroy this city. The king of Nineveh issued a decree saying, let men and animals fast. Who knows, maybe God will be merciful to us. Coming into the New Testament, you may remember that when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus and the Lord Jesus met with him and he was converted and he was led blinded into the city of Damascus, he fasted. In fact, he took no food or water. And then there are a couple of incidents in the early church. The church in Antioch, before they sent out missionaries, they fasted and prayed. The churches in Galatia, before they appointed elders, fasted and prayed. And most famously, of course, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights while he was tempted in the wilderness. So you have these various occasions when God's people fasted, both in the Old and the New Testament. What conclusion do we draw from this? Now, a very great preacher called Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached a particularly helpful sermon on fasting. And I'm going to quote from Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and this is what he said. For spiritual purposes, men and women decide to fast. This is something that is unusual or exceptional. Something that a man or a woman does for a special or a specific purpose, such as prayer or meditation or seeking God for some peculiar reason or under some exceptional circumstance. And that is a good summary of the Bible's teaching on fasting when we look at all those occasions. Fasting was not something that was done regularly. Now, I will come back to that, but it wasn't by God's command done regularly. Fasting was done when there was a crisis. Fasting was done when there was a major issue in the life of the church. Fasting was done when there was a particular need, a particular thing that had to be dealt with, and people needed God's help under particular difficult circumstances, they would fast. That is how fasting took place in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. So we've seen two things so far. We've seen in the first place that God only commanded fasting once. That was the Day of the Atonement. But we've also seen that God's people would fast at various occasions in the Bible. The third thing I will say on this topic is this, that Jesus clearly assumed his people would fast. The passage that we read in Luke chapter 5, Jesus says in verse 35, "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Clearly, he assumed or expected that his people would fast. He says the day will come when the bridegroom is no longer with them. And then he says on that day, they will fast. Let me read to you some verses from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus again taught on fasting. And Jesus said, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Twice in that passage, Jesus says, "When you fast." So he clearly expected that his people at various points would fast. I will come back to that when I come to my application. The fourth thing, I'm just going to work my way through my various points. So we've seen that fasting was only commanded on the Day of Atonement. We've seen that at various occasions God's people fasted. We've seen that Jesus expected his people to fast. The fourth thing the Bible teaches is that there are wrong ways or wrong reasons to fast. For example, people might think we're twisting God's arm, and if I fast, God must grant me my request. Because he's seen that I've fasted, he's seen that I've made a sacrifice, he's seen that I'm serious about something. So if I fast, surely then God must grant my request. Well, I remind you of the occasion when David fasted because Bathsheba had given birth to a son. And that son was dying. And David fasted and prayed. And the son died. And when the servant came and said to him, "Your son has died," he took food. And they said, "What is all this? You wouldn't eat until your son is dead." Well, he said, "Well, while my son was alive, there was hope that he might not die. So I fasted and prayed. But now that the son has died, I can take food again." So fasting is not twisting God's arm. Secondly, fasting is not to impress others. Remember what I've just read in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others." When the people came to Jesus and said, "The disciples of the Pharisees fast," there is indication in the Bible that the Pharisees would fast twice a week. There's a verse in the Bible in Luke's Gospel chapter 18 where a Pharisee goes to the temple to pray and he says to the Lord, "I fast twice a week." And he was exactly doing what Jesus says in Matthew 6 you shouldn't do, to be seen by others. Because he's pointing to a tax collector who was also in the temple. And the Pharisee says, "I'm not like this tax collector. He's a terrible man. He's a sinner. He's an unrighteous man. I fast twice a week. You see how holy I am." Can you imagine somebody standing up in a prayer meeting and audibly praying and singing his praises to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I give a tenth of all I possess. I fast twice a week." Well, that's what this Pharisee did. Well, it was done to impress others. We must never ever do that. in that passage where Jesus teaches about fasting, twice he talks about doing it in secret. He says, do your fasting in such a way that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I never feel happy about saying to the church, let us have a season of fasting. I don't think that is biblical. Because we are then making it clear. I don't believe anybody who has decided to fast. Well, it's not that I believe, the Bible makes this clear. Anybody who decides to fast shouldn't actually say to others, I am fasting. Certainly not to appear holy, to appear upright or anything like that. The word is secret. And twice the Lord Jesus uses it and says, let your Father see in secret what you're doing. And what he sees in secret, he will reward you. So we've seen that God only commanded fasting once, the Day of Atonement. We've seen God's people fasted at various occasions. We've seen that Jesus expected his people to fast. We've seen there are wrong ways of fasting. I've only got one more point, and then I'll come to application. And my last point is to do with wisdom in fasting. I'm going to be speaking, or in my application, I'm going to be encouraging you to pray about this, to consider fasting. But let me say this, if you have health issues whereby it is unwise for you to fast, do not fast. If you have health issues and your doctor would say to you, it is wrong for you to fast, your health will break down if you fast, you'll destroy your body if you fast, there is no glory to God in fasting and destroying your health. How is that going to help anybody? So if you have health issues, I plead with you, do not fast, do not consider it. You're not sinning by not fasting. Others might decide to fast. You're not sinning by not fasting. You're looking after your body. There's nothing wrong in that. So just five things there about fasting from the Bible. It was commanded just once, the Day of Atonement. But various times God's people fasted. Thirdly, Jesus expected his people to fast. Fourthly, there are wrong reasons. And fifthly, there is wisdom in fasting, particularly to do with health. Now, let me come to my application. Can I just say this to you? I find it fascinating that at this point in the life of our church, in the providences of God, I didn't arrange this, in the providences of God, we've arrived at a passage where I'm speaking on fasting. And I have a number of questions. Could it be that God is saying to us as a church, at this point in our church life, when we're about to move from this building to a new building next door, when there are going to be major changes in church life inevitably, could it be God is saying to us as a congregation, I want you to consider fasting? Perhaps you've never fasted before. Perhaps you've never ever thought about it before. Perhaps you don't even know how to go about it. Could it be God is saying, I would like members of this church to give great thought and great consideration to this issue of fasting? Could it be God is saying to us, I want you to engage with this whole exercise? Because we as a church are engaged in a massive exercise. We're about to give up this building. We're going to move to a new building next door. Now, you can either criticize and be negative about it, or you can stand on the byline, on the sideline, and watch while all the others are doing the great work that they're doing. Or we could all, as a church, every one of us, we could say, we are going to lay hold of God in prayer and fasting. We are not going to just stand on the byline and just watch as others do the work and see how things turn out. We're going to be spectators. We're not going to do that. We're not going to be spectators. We're not going to be those who criticize. We're going to fully engage ourselves in this exercise. It is going to happen. We are going to move. Why don't all of us get involved in this and say, we're going to take time to fast and pray about this matter, particularly fasting and praying that God will revive this church. That God, when we move, will do a new thing that none of us expected. I'm not saying building is important, but the Lord does use these things. And could it be God is challenging us at this point and saying, I want to see a seriousness in all of you. I want to see a passion. I want to see some desire in all of you as a church that you want me to bless this church. You want me to make this church a great church again. You want me to save souls in this church. I want to see desire from you. I want to hear your prayers. I want to see your passion. I want to see your commitment to this. Could it be God is saying that? Can I quote Dr. Lloyd-Jones again? Only fast when you are impelled by the Holy Spirit for spiritual purposes. Only fast when you're impelled by the Holy Spirit for spiritual purposes. I'm not going to say to you, will you set aside one day a week when you fast and will you do this on a regular basis? I don't believe it's right for me. But I am saying this. Will you pray and ask the Lord to guide you in this matter? Will you take it to the Lord in prayer? Will you say to the Lord, Lord, do you want me to fast? Now remember the health issue, and please don't fast if you can't because of health. But if you're able, would you do this? Would you go to the Lord? And if you feel impelled in your spirit, and we all know what that means. We know this impulse of the Holy Spirit when the Lord puts it on your heart and mind. Would you then obey and in secret, as the Lord Jesus has instructed, fast and pray? But can I also say this? Even if you don't fast, and of course nobody knows whether you will or not, it doesn't matter. Even if you don't fast, can I encourage you to make this a matter of prayer? We are at a critical stage in the life of this church. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what will happen when we move. But can I ask you to make this a matter of prayer? Can I ask you to set aside time every day, perhaps 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, when you pray specifically for Copse Road Chapel and for God to bless this church and for God to grant us growth in this church? Would you do that? If you're married, would you with your wife or your husband? Just 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, longer if you can. Pray about this. You know, let's take this seriously. Let us take it to God. And let us say to the Lord, we have struggled for many years. We found life difficult for many years. Will you, Lord, help us to turn a corner? Will you, Lord, come to us in mighty power? Will you, Lord, come by your Spirit and grant great blessings to your people? You know, I've said already that you don't twist God's arm when you fast. But equally, when you look at the incident when God's people fasted, God answered in miraculous ways. Now I repeat, there is no automatic slot machine thing here. Remember, David's son died. But Ezra, setting out on this long journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, fasted and prayed, and they arrived safely. Esther saying to Mordecai, call for a fast because the Jewish people are all going to be destroyed because of Haman. And they fasted, and God worked miraculously, and the Jewish race was spared. The king of Nineveh, a pagan king, saying to his people, fast and pray, maybe God will spare our city. And God did spare that city. All these times when God heard and answered prayer because God's people fasted. Now that's an encouragement to us. I'm not giving any guarantees, but there's an encouragement to us. Certainly we should be at prayer. Certainly we should be seriously in prayer for our church. Certainly we should be bringing this church and its state before God in prayer. And we should be seeking the Lord and beseeching Him. We should be like Jacob taking hold of God and saying, I will not let you go until you bless this church. And perhaps part of that is that the Spirit of God will put it on the hearts of some of us to fast and to pray for the sake of this church. Well, may the Lord help us and guide us in this matter.